This is America on the Road, winner of the International Automotive Media Conference Gold Medal Award for Radio, and now in its 24th year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com and the Coalition for Vehicle Choice. I'm Jack Nerad. With me is Chris Teague, my Maine friend from Maine. Chris, how you doing?
Doing well, Jack. How are you today?
I'm doing very nicely, thank you. Nice day here in the South Bay area of Los Angeles. And what's it like in Maine today?
65 and rainy at the moment. Been quite a nice day and a very long run of very great weather for the past couple of weeks, so I can't complain.
Yeah, and now you're getting a little hint of fall. Is that what this is promising to you?
Yeah, we'll be full orange and red and all sorts of colors here in just a few weeks, I would bet.
And so beautiful. I mean, what a lovely time of year to be in Maine. I really envy you that. I don't envy the cold so much, but I do envy the fall colors. Just spectacular there. And are your kids back in school?
My younger daughter started her pre-K program this week, and my older daughter, who is going into second grade, will start next Thursday. So we are coming right up on it.
Wow. Very cool. Well, back to the car portion of the program. Now that we have our, hey, what's going on out of the way. In the road test segment, we're going to be looking at the all-new Nissan Sentra. And you were driving the Lexus RX 350, am I correct?
Yes.
Good. It's good to be correct. Occasionally, I will be on the show over the course of the next hour or so. Every now and then, I'll... You know, like the blind squirrel. And our special guest today is Carl Lally. He's of Ram Trucks. He's been with Ram Trucks for something like 20 years, something on that order. He's going to tell us all about the Ram 1500 TRX Super Truck. Well, that's a knockout, absolutely a knockout. So we'll have a lengthy chat with him about that. But before we do that, let's talk about news. And I guess the most newsworthy thing going on, and we heard about it today, is the Los Angeles Auto Show. I'm not sure that they have made it official, but there are strong rumors that the LA Auto Show will move to May from its November date, which is the last of the big auto shows to change its dates and move things around.
Yeah, you know, we were just talking a little while ago about the number of events that have been canceled. So I think it was SEMA and then the LA Auto Show were the last two, at least in the United States, to fall. So only time will tell, I guess, if we actually start having these again early next year when they're slated to begin again.
Yeah, well, I've got to believe we will. I'm a voice in the wilderness, perhaps. The LA show is scheduled to run, at least to the public, the 20th of November through the 29th. It is now rumored to be going to take place May 21 through 31. That's got to include Memorial Day, I would think. And that will be, again, that is rumored. That is not official, but it's fairly likely. It's interesting, too, that that puts it almost right up against the North American International Auto Show, which is going to take place in June in Detroit. And I think the New York Auto Show is supposed to take place in August of next year, if I remember correctly, and I might not. actually, I remember incorrectly. It will take place, I think, again in April, and its April dates is what's planned. And it's typical April dates, taking essentially the year off. And I'm not sure what they're going to where they're going to call, you know, the May dates for Los Angeles Auto Show, the 2021 event or the 2022. It's just hard to say.
Right. It'll be really interesting to see what this does, if anything, to new model rollouts and announcements and all the buzz that goes around it when they're so tightly packed or delayed. So,
yeah. Well, it used to be that the LA show was right before the Detroit show. They were within days of one another, and people would fly to LA and then fly back to Detroit, or, you know, we would get on a plane immediately after the LA show was over and head off to Detroit. So we're glad that ended, but now things are changing yet again. And I guess that's a constant, isn't it? Things continue to change.
Faster by the day.
Yes. True enough. Well, we're coming up on Labor Day, and our friends at Cars.com have done a survey about Labor Day, and so we will tell you what they found out. One of the things they found out is a lot of people are going to be traveling. They want to travel, and most of them will be traveling by car rather than by plane. I think that has become pretty clear here that a lot of people are a little reticent about getting on airplanes these days. They're also ready to buy some cars. In fact, 51% of people who say they're in-market car shoppers, or they have been determined to be in-market car shoppers, say they're going to buy a car this weekend. And 64% have moved up their purchase based on the pandemic, based on COVID-19. And I think probably in response to incentives that have come along, or perhaps in response to the fact that they don't want to get in the subway or on a bus these days.
Absolutely. Don't blame them in some cases, but...
Right. Well, we'll see. 26% are going to travel over this weekend, more than 100 miles, and 49% say they plan to be gone the entire weekend or longer. So if you're a criminal and like to break into houses, that's something to keep in mind. Or not. Let's hope we don't have a lot of criminals listening in. But is Labor Day, I would imagine Labor Day weekend is a big weekend in Maine, right? I mean, it seems like the last gasp of summer. What is it like in Maine?
It typically is. You know, it's kind of funny, depending on where you are in the state. Some places it is a total ghost town, and then other places it's almost like nothing ever happens. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like school starts earlier and earlier every year, and that kind of makes the end of August and into Labor Day, which used to be the prime time to go on vacation. I mean, a summer vacation would end on Labor Day, essentially, and then you'd go to school the next day. My school always started the day after Labor Day, and that has changed. And I think that has altered the way people vacation, of course. Makes sense.
I agree. I'm married to a school employee, a school administrator, so my vacations are quite different. We take school vacations only, so
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see. But one thing I found that was really interesting out of this survey is that people are buying sedans, or people want to buy sedans, at least in this period of time. At least the 41% of the shoppers were in the market for sedans more than any other body style, which at least in this small sliver of data goes against the larger market that we've been learning about for years now.
Yeah. And I don't know whether that indicates that there is a groundswell for sedans, or it indicates that this survey is a little cockeyed. One or the other, or maybe both.
Could be either.
Yeah, absolutely true. Well, you have some interesting data that's worthy of discussion, I think. What do you have for us?
I do. We talked about used cars at the beginning of the, you know, the pandemic shutdown. As automakers stopped manufacturing new vehicles, inventory levels started to take a dip, and used cars became more popular, and demand went up. So prices followed. IC Cars, speaking to Business Insider, put out some numbers here. They said that the average price of used cars increased by just over 4% between June and July. I guess that's their definition of two summer months. I'm sorry, July to August. I'm incorrect. But they do have a list of cars that didn't actually increase in price but fell in price, and that's bucking the trend because the overall market, as I said, is going up. So one of the worst is the Chevrolet Sonic. I guess the worst is probably not the best way to put that.
It's so cruel, Chris. You don't strike me as a cruel person.
It is. It's not the right word to use for this. So let's see. The one that decreased in price the most was the Chevrolet Sonic. Dropped 2.5%. On average. These are new car prices, or I'm sorry, used car prices. And let's see, the second was GMC Yukon XL went down 2% on average. And the third was the Chevrolet Spark. So GM's taking up the slack here.
They're taking some hits, aren't they? And and all kind of all around, right? I mean, little car, big car, you know, a super large SUV, and then, you know, some small vehicles, kind of semi-SUV and semi-not. Interesting.
That's right. And so the thinking here is that luxury cars, obviously, and vehicles that are in higher demand don't necessarily get discounted because there will always be a demand for them. So the theory here is at least the cars that we talked about and the other six or seven on the list are, you know, not as high in demand, so the prices are going down.
Right. Well, having worked at Kelley Blue Book for 15 years or so, I got up close and personal with vehicle values, and typically all used cars go down in value and kind of in a very steady state. The fact that some used car prices are up is pretty much an anomaly based on just what's going on. This whole year is an anomaly, we hope. So there you go. Interesting what they have to report, and maybe there's something to it. I'm not sure what the takeaway is, but the takeaway now is that the segment is over, right? When we come back, we will be looking at some cars that we have road tested over the course of the last week. I was road testing the brand new Nissan Sentra, nominally a 2020, but I think the 2021 will be identical. And Chris, you were driving the Lexus RX 350, correct?
I did, yes.
And he will have insightful comments to make about it. So stay with us, everybody. When we come back, we will be talking about those two fine vehicles right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris Teague. Jack Nerad back with you, and it is our road test segment of the program. I think you probably wait with bated breath to hear what we have to say about the various vehicles each week, and we always try and bring you interesting vehicles. They're kind of a potpourri of vehicles, and this time around, we have the Nissan Sentra, kind of an entry-level vehicle or close to it, a compact vehicle, very popular Nissan vehicle. And you were driving, I think, maybe the 800-pound gorilla among luxury SUVs, and that's the RX from Lexus. Tell us about it, will you, Chris?
Yes, it's the 2020 RX 350, and I tested the F Sport model, which is the even sharper, even sportier-looking crossover from Lexus. So the RX, as you said, the 800-pound gorilla, it's been around for almost as long as anybody can remember. It's one of the most popular. The 2020 model I tested came with a 3.5-liter V6, and that came with an 8-speed automatic transmission and all-wheel drive, 295 horsepower, 268 pound-feet of torque. And my price, as I tested it, landed just under $60,000, so by no means a budget vehicle. What to say about it? You know, it's a solidly built vehicle from the inside. You know, you can almost close your eyes and shut the door in a Lexus and kind of feel it's a Lexus after a little while of driving. The interior remains extremely quiet over even the bumpiest roads, though the F-Sport package does have larger wheels with less rubber, so the ride can be a little bit busy. Even so, the seats up front are very well bolstered. I think the F-Sport has upgraded, or you could call them upgraded, sport seats with bigger bolsters and a little bit deeper padding, which I liked. And here they were in red leather interior, so didn't quite like that, but that's just a preference thing. It has nothing to do with quality because it was a very, very high quality. But
you don't have red cows in Maine that give red leather?
No red cows and no red couches either. So I think, okay. It was enjoyable. So Lexus does it as well as anyone, I guess. The back seat, big enough for me and Jack. I'm not going to tell you how tall I am in this episode.
Oh, no.
Almost every other episode.
Breaking a trend.
So for me, I'm 6 feet tall. Sitting in the back seat, you know, the driver, if I were also 6 feet tall sitting in front of myself, there would be a kind of a jockeying for position there. There's the back seat is not going to be the best for taller adults, especially on longer trips. And looking at the RX on the outside, this latest generation's got a really sharp styling in the front, and then it kind of swoops off in the back, and that sloping roof line does cut into headroom, especially if there's a sunroof installed. So, well, their sunroof comes standard. So that's part of it. And then putting in a car seat in the back, the latch points are extremely easy to find. But full-size car seats, again, especially rear-facing, it's really hard to find that sweet spot between front leg room and rear, I guess in this case, car seat room, because they're not supposed to touch the seat in front. So comfortable interior, a little bit cramped. And then finally, you know, Lexus and technology, you could read for days and days about people who dislike the infotainment system. I think I'm kind of past that. I think they've smoothed it out enough now, especially with the optional 12.3-inch screen that comes in the RX 350. It's quite responsive. It's not the most colorful or the prettiest, but it's becoming easier to navigate. And now that Apple CarPlay and Android Auto are available in the newest RX, you don't have to deal with it for that long if you don't like it. So that overlays maps and music and text messages and other functions. So overall, I think if we could, if you can get past the interior being a little bit cramped, it's quite comfortable. It's sporty looking. And it's an all-around nice vehicle. I'd recommend it unless you have, you know, more than four or five people to haul around on a regular basis.
Yeah, and you say it's cramped. I would say it's cramped probably in the back seat, but the front seats are going to be very accommodating. And I think most folks who own one will use the front seats a lot and the rear seats not so much. Again, I think this is kind of an empty nester vehicle for most folks who own one. And I think that what they've situated is pretty appropriate for those folks, not typically hauling around kids in child seats. So I guess that's good. They're more likely to, I think, haul around golf clubs than they are kids. And so that's as it should be, I guess. And certainly a vehicle that has been
point on it than I did.
Popular for them. So there you go. No, yeah. I think you're spot on with your analysis, as usual. I was driving the 2020 Nissan Sentra. And again, as I mentioned a little earlier, I think the 2021 Nissan Sentra, which we will see probably momentarily, is going to be virtually the same as the 2020. This is a vehicle that was launched just as COVID was taking hold and thus has been largely invisible to a lot of people for the course of the last 6 months or so. And is now, we're starting to see the light of day, and rightly so. It's a really good-looking vehicle. It is a compact sedan that competes with the likes of the Honda Civic, which is one of the most popular cars out there, and just a terrific car. And I think it does a pretty good job of competing with a car as good as the Civic and the Toyota Corolla and those vehicles. It is 2 inches lower and 2 inches wider than the previous generation was, and it's a sharp-looking car from the outside. It has LED headlamps, LED tail lamps, and fog lamps. It's available in these new two-tone color combinations that typically have a black roof. What's your take on those, Chris? Like or not like?
I think it's a fine line to walk. You know, I think that Volvo did it really well with the XC40, although I think theirs is just in white, or maybe it is black. But it's a fine line to be walked, and sometimes it looks goofy. But I don't dislike it here.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's the perfect thing for the Sentra. It's not a bad thing. It's just a thing. You like it or you don't. Certainly, mechanically, there's a lot to like. A new 2-liter four-cylinder engine. Rated at a whopping 149 horsepower. Okay, that's not whopping, but it is 20% more than last time around. And it has the Xtronic continuously variable transmission. And these are getting better. You know, don't just turn up your nose when you hear CVT. They're getting better. And I think those who drive a Sentra, as I did, won't find it an issue at all. There's a new independent rear suspension, which aids the handling, certainly. It has a conventional McPherson strut front suspension. And four-wheel disc brakes are available on the up-level versions. It's interesting that there are still some cars that have rear drum brakes, isn't it? It seems so 1995. And, of course, it has Nissan Safety Shield 360, and that is a suite of six electronic driver assist systems. Good stuff. Automatic emergency braking with pedestrian detection, blind spot warning, rear cross traffic alert, you know, good stuff like that. Rear automatic braking. They tout that in the commercial a lot. You can also get intelligent cruise control, so adaptive cruise control, and the intelligent around view monitor for those of you who are parallel parking challenged, which is probably most people, I would think. And a lot of Hilux touches. I mean, when you look at the interior of this thing, it is definitely a plus interior versus everything else in the segment. They have the Nissan zero gravity front seats. You feel like you're just floating on air. Well, not quite, but they're comfy. And, you know, I think good entertainment interface with the infotainment system. 7-inch digital display in the SV and SR grades, so the upgrades, and an 8-inch multi-touch center display that has Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, so just what it should have. And all around, this is a very likable vehicle. It's not necessarily an aspirational vehicle, but I think this is a vehicle that anybody could have and own and just really enjoy for years and years and years. And a great commuter car, you know, enough room if you had to haul another couple with you or, you know, put some young kids in the back seat. You could haul them around very successfully and very nicely.
I agree. I think, you know, the thing that surprised me the most about the Sentra was the interior space. So you look at it from the outside and you're like, there's no way that my kids are going to fit in here. And then you get inside and they mostly do. They're quite a
right.
quite a roomy interior.
Yeah, very few body parts are just sticking out the window as you drive off. And I think that's good.
Yeah, they've done a good job. The technology is great. Safety equipment, especially the upgraded options, like you mentioned, are great. Taken in context for what it is, it's quite a good car.
Absolutely. Well, I think we have two winners here. I think the RX, of course, is very, very popular in its segment, although I don't know that it has the popularity that it used to have in the segment. There's a lot of good ones now, and you know, certainly some of the SUVs from Mercedes-Benz, for example, are starting to nibble on its lunch, shall we say. And then the Nissan Sentra, a very good competitor in a very difficult portion of the market where there's a lot of competition, but I think it stands itself in good stead and certainly worth a look. A lot of safety equipment, upscale interior, very, very worthy of taking a look at.
I agree.
Good enough. Well, we're getting the gentleman from Maine is agreeing, so we're happy with that. When we come back, we will be taking listener questions. I warn you, yes, we are taking listener questions, and we've got some good ones this week. I can guarantee that. So stay with us with Chris Teague, Jack Nerad back with you, and we will be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. This is Jack Nerad back with you along with Chris Teague. So pleased to have Chris with us, co-hosting America on the Road. And it is question and answer time. It is question and answer time. I guess it's getting late in the day for me to be able to say that. I didn't think that would be so hard, but there you go. And we'd love to take your listener questions. We've been doing this for a while now, some of us more than others. One of us maybe more than others, but we're gaining a lot of information that we want to deliver to you, and we can do that in this segment. So feel free to shoot a listener question to us. Your question to us at editor@drivingtoday.com is a great place to send that question, and we will answer it on an upcoming show. And let me go immediately to the first listener question, and it is apropos this time of year when we're coming to the end of a model year. And the question from the listener is this: should I buy a 2020 or 2021 model at this point? What's your take, Chris?
Well, I think that it's going to depend on a few things. If you're the type of person that absolutely wants the latest and greatest, you're going to want to buy the 2021. So some models don't change or won't change that much between 2020 and 2021, but some models are all new. We talked last week about the Suburban and the Tahoe and those vehicles that are new. But some won't change that much at all. So if you want the newest and want the new look, you're going to go for 2021. The other thing is if you're picky, so if you want a really specific color or like a certain set of wheels that you can only get by ordering it from the factory, you're probably not going to be able to get that from 2021 models because, you know, you're getting to the point where those aren't configurable and ordered from the factory because they're pushing out 2021. So you can still get a 2020, but you're probably going to have to take what's left on the lot. Having said that, if you're a budget shopper, which I probably would be at this point in time, your best bet for a deal is 2020, especially as the new models are starting to roll out. So I would say, Jack, the short answer to all that is it depends on who you are and where your budget lies.
Right, and what kind of haircut you have. another thing that it depends on, and there are a lot of vehicles where the 2021 will be almost identical to the 2020. And then you have to do some real thinking here and some real analysis And part of it has to do with how long are you going to keep that car? If you're going to keep it forever, it kind of doesn't matter whether it's 2020 or 2021. But most of us are going to sell that at some particular time. And when you buy the 2020 versus the 2021, it's going to be a year older when you trade it in or sell it, and it will be worth less. So you have to figure that in as you're figuring out the pricing of the current vehicle. And a lot of times, the discount on the current model, or let's say the 2020 is the current model, and then the upcoming model is 2021, the discount on the current model is not commensurate with what you're going to lose by having that be a year older so fast. So that's something that a lot of people just don't figure in at all, and it really does make a difference. So
that's true. You know, the funny thing about that is I've seen this with Ford a couple of times now where they've skipped a model year. So I think it's the Ford E-Series, which is their commercial van, which is irrelevant to quite a few people listening. But they skipped the 2020 model year and went from 2019 to 2021. So the theory being that that'll help out the residual value, as you said, when people go to trade them in or sell them.
Yeah. So you have that going. Here's another car question. Used car values are high. I think we alluded to that in the previous segment. Is this a good time to trade in my car? Will I get a better value now than I would have got, say, 2 or 3 months ago?
Well, I can speak to from personal experience. Just 2 weeks ago, I sold a used car. I had actually.
I hope it was yours.
Earlier. What's that?
Was it yours or somebody else?
Yes. Yep. It was my own, my very own used car.
Got it.
Earlier this year, I'd put it out just for the feeler for $10,000. And got all sorts of offers. And this is before the lockdown began. So this is in late February. I listed it. Got all sorts of offers for $4,000 or $5,000. Listed it again a couple of weeks ago. And within 3 days had sold it within $1,000 of my asking price. And got several offers even before I could take the ad down after that. So people are definitely more eager to buy cars now. So it could be a good time to sell. I can't speak on the trade-in market, but I would say private sales are probably doing pretty well right now.
Yeah. And I would say trade-ins are as well. I mean, dealers are eager to get your used car because they think they can turn it and make some money on it. So I think it is a pretty good time to trade in your car. I mean, that doesn't mean that you just walk into a dealership and you're going to get a lot of money for it without doing some negotiation and some understanding of what that vehicle is worth. All other things being equal and with some degree of negotiating skill, this is probably a pretty good time to either sell or trade in your current car. So there you go.
Absolutely.
And that was listener questions for this week on America on the Road. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Carl Lally. He is with Ram Trucks, and he's going to be talking about a very exciting vehicle they recently introduced, the TRX, the Ram 1500 TRX. So we'll talk with him about that for, I think, probably the better part of 20 minutes. And so stay with us for that with Chris Teague, Jack Nerad, with you on America on the Road. Thanks for being with us. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nerad back with you, and we're pleased and happy to have a very honored guest. A guy who spent most of his career working on Ram 1500 pickup trucks. What a cool thing to do. And one of my favorite trucks out there, that's certain. Carl Lally is with us. He is the senior manager of the Ram 1500. Carl, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Jack. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you made an announcement fairly recently about a new, well, I guess you're calling it the Apex Predator of trucks. Tell us a bit about all the new TRX.
Yeah, so the 2021 Ram 1500 TRX, it was such a anticipated day on Monday to finally pull the wraps off that truck and show it publicly, and we couldn't be more proud of it. The reception has been just incredible. 702 horsepower, the most powerful, fastest, quickest production truck on the planet. It really does set a new standard for our brand and for the segment overall.
So let's get behind the scenes on this a little bit. I mean, usually when you're putting together a new model or a submodel, you have to come up with a business case for it, right? You have to sell the accountants and everybody else on why it's a good idea to do. Tell me how you were able to persuade those folks to do the TRX.
So if you remember back in 2016, we rolled a concept truck out. At the time, we called it the Rebel TRX. And that was based on our previous generation Ram 1500. We had dropped a 6.2-liter supercharged engine under the hood of that truck and really had some fun with the styling and design elements of that concept truck. And the reception was incredible. I mean, it literally was the most trafficked element on our website from the moment we put it out there for a considerable amount of time. So we just immediately knew that there was an incredible passion for that type of product. And I think once we got our arms around that, it just became a matter of, okay, how do we do it? And how quickly can we bring it to market? And how do we do it in the way that's going to be the most impressive truck that's ever come to market for our brand? And so the business case, you always have to do the financials behind it and all that kind of backroom accounting sort of stuff, if you will. But there's so much product passion from our fan base that it made it a very easy topic to spend time on and to walk our executive team through.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And of course, it's one thing for people to express interest and be really jazzed about it and spend a lot of time on websites about it, chat about it, do all of those things. It's another thing to get them to pony up the money to buy something like this. It's a, you know, a very expensive truck. And so you have to balance that business out. I mean, how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the interesting things about the truck market over the last 10 years is just to see the desire by truck customers to get the truck that they want. They don't want to make compromises. They're willing to pay when the truck delivers on performance, and obviously this truck does that in spades. And they're also willing to spend when the truck delivers on luxury and comfort. And we've learned that, particularly with the all-new Ram 1500 and the critical acclaim that it's received for its luxury features and the technology that's in the truck. And so with the 1500 TRX, it was kind of marrying those two ideas. Let's give the customer ultimate performance, and then let's also give them the opportunity to get all the technology and luxury that they would expect at a premium price point. And so it's when you bring those two things together, it's meeting what the customer is asking for, and that's usually a pretty good equation.
Yeah, absolutely. If you meet or exceed customers' expectations, that's a kind of a product that's going to win in the marketplace, isn't it?
That's what we're here for.
Right. Tell us a bit about it, you know, specifically. Go through what's changed about this truck. You know, obviously, engine is certainly a big one, but, you know, walk us through it.
Yeah. So, obviously, the engine is a headline grabber, of course, a 702 horsepower. But it does a lot of things for the truck. Obviously, 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds, top speed of 118 miles per hour. But just the overall package of the truck is also what's impressive about it. New integrated fender flares that make the truck 8 inches wider than a conventional Ram 1500. 35-inch Goodyear Wrangler Territory all-terrain tires that are designed to go with the truck. And even the suspension system is really incredible, offering 8 different drive modes that the driver can select from to get the vehicle to perform in a variety of different environments. It's truly designed from the ground up, bolt by bolt, to deliver on every element of off-road performance that a customer could ask for.
So that's what you're really looking for, right, is off-road performance. How is that expressed in things other than the engine? How is it expressed, say, in suspension design and what you put together there?
Yeah, so it's there's so much to talk about this, and that is kind of what makes it fun. But even the axles are beefed up on the truck. You know, they're designed so that you can have this wider 9-inch wheels and 35-inch tires to be fitted on the truck without compromising any kind of maneuverability or anything of that nature. It's designed to have water fording depth up to 32 inches deep. And so the engine is going to get you going fast. But as they always say, if you don't have it under control, that doesn't do you any help when you're really in a racing environment or you're just trying to have fun getting through terrain as quickly as you can. So the suspension is designed with this special Bilstein E2 shocks to maximize the amount of time that the tire actually can stay on the turf. It's not necessarily pavement because this truck's not going to be on pavement as much, but on the turf as it's handling different terrain and being able to harness all that power and keep it on the ground to keep the truck moving forward.
Right. And at the same time, this truck is going to fly at times too, and the suspension has to be able to do that, correct?
That's right. Yep. It's and really, that's part of why it was so much time was spent on the suspension. It's an all-new independent front suspension. Has a heavy use of high strength aluminum, so it's strong and it's durable, and it's really designed to handle these extreme terrain changes that a customer can go through in an off-road environment like that. So, yeah, up to 13 inches of wheel travel, for example, to be able to accommodate the terrain as it's going up and down at a high rate of speed.
Mm-hmm. You certainly have benchmarked this against the competition. You know, how does it fare? There really aren't that many competitors out there. I can think of maybe on my thumbs, I can count them. Tell me about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it may sound like corporate speak a little bit, but we feel like this truck really doesn't have a competitor today that matches up with it. I mean, there's no other truck on the market, production truck on the market, that delivers over 700 horsepower and also offers the kind of levels of refinement and technology that the Ram 1500 TRX does. So naturally, we looked across the light-duty trucks segment. We're familiar with who the leading competitors are in the marketplace. But we wanted to create this truck in a sense that it was the new benchmark that others didn't really have an opportunity to compare it to. So we're constantly looking across town at our rivals, but at the same time, we're also paying close attention to what the customers are really looking for. And that's a lot of what we got when we brought that concept to market 4 years ago.
Right. Let's talk a bit about exterior styling and design. Obviously, a lot going in the exterior of this truck. Walk us through that, please.
Yeah. So I mentioned earlier the fact that it's wider. So it's 88 inches wide, and that's 8 inches wider than a typical Ram 1500, which helps it accommodate those 35-inch tires and an overall 6-inch wider track. So the footprint is wider overall, the truck. It's not just simply in the body itself. It sits higher, so you have that excellent ground clearance on the truck, as you can imagine, with the larger tires and the lifted suspension setup. And then, you know, it has unique features even across the front of the truck. So the grille, for example, is unique on TRX relative to other 1500s. It has a flow-through grille. The RAM letters on the front of the grill allow air to flow through because the engine pulls in half of its air intake through the grill, and then it pulls the other half through the hood scoop that is obviously unique to TRX as well, which is not only functional in terms of pulling in all that air to feed the engine, but it's also where we located the marker lights on the truck as well, the amber-colored marker lights. So it also gives it a very distinct visual presence when you see the truck at night.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, from the rear, describe the rear for us. And
One of the things that's really fun about the truck, of course, is just the sound that it makes. You fire up the engine and the growl of that 6.2-liter Hemi is just incredible. And that's brought to life in short by the 5-inch wide dual exhaust pipes that are on the back of the truck. So that's unique to the Ram 1500 TRX, so those big, beefy exhaust tips on the back. You also have tow hooks back there. So you got two tow hooks in the back and two in the front, and that kind of gives you that ability to let this truck attach to wherever it needs to, pull your buddies out if need be, attach flags back there and things of that nature when you're off-road. So it really is a unique-looking truck, not only from the front, the back, but from every angle.
Yeah, and let's talk about an interior. I mean, certainly this is an expensive truck. Mm-hmm. I think you want an interior that expresses that and also expresses the fact that this is unique. It is not like every other Ram 1500. Of course, there are a wide variety of Ram 1500s, we're happy about that, all of us who purchase trucks. But tell us a bit about the interior of the TRX.
Yeah, so we took some things that we knew were popular across the Ram 1500 lineup and made them standard here in the TRX. So, for example, the 12-inch Uconnect touchscreen audio system is standard in every Ram 1500 TRX. So that greets you, of course, mounted there vertically on the center stack. And the base Ram 1500 TRXs, they start with this red and black cloth and vinyl interior that's essentially inspired by the Rebel and the off-road image that interior portrays. And then as the customer selects up to different option groups, the TR1 and TR2, it starts bringing in heated and ventilated premium Natura Plus leather. You have perforated suede accents on the front buckets and the rear bench seats. You've got suede covering on the steering wheel, for example, and the ability to add carbon fiber elements on the interior of the truck. So the experience is really like that of our Limited in terms of the level of quality and luxury and premium materials that you get on the interior of the truck. And then it features all the technology that you might expect it would via that 12-inch touchscreen that I talked about, by being able to access the different drive modes and just having an incredible amount of different pieces of information there at your fingertips.
We have loved the interior of so many RAM 1500s. It is indeed, I think it's been awarded that, actually, a luxury car in a lot of ways, and maybe one of the best luxury cars out there these days, as in addition to being a very functional truck.
Yeah, that was it was kind of fun. We won the Cars.com gave us the luxury car of the year, and it almost kind of caused us to go back and say, has a truck ever won luxury car of the year? But we did, and as you've noticed, from spending time on the inside of the truck, it's not terribly surprising to understand why. It just really is that kind of a premium environment, and it's incredibly comfortable. And that's one of the neat things about this TRX, is that unbelievably, we call it otherworldly performance, but you also have the ability to enjoy the comforts that our truck is known for.
Right. And I think one thing FCA is really good about doing is making certain that even these specialty models, and I point out SRTs for that matter, as examples of that, as very functional vehicles beyond what they're able to do from a performance standpoint. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. And we spent a lot of time thinking about that, because the performance, the off-road truck performance customer obviously is going to be different than necessarily some of the on-road performance customers in terms of what they value and what they find meaningful. So, for example, in the TRX, it has an optional auxiliary switch bank that's integrated into the truck, and it allows customers to wire into the TRX with things such as a light bar, for example, and they don't have to worry about mounting switches inside the truck or the truck's cabin in order to activate that. It's right there at their fingertips. So we tried to think through as many of those different types of examples as to how people are using these trucks in real life, and then design the interior so that it's pleasing. They don't have to have the stress and the anxiety of cutting into a brand new vehicle interior or trying to figure out the wiring system it's set up for them right from the get-go.
Yeah, makes so much sense. Absolutely makes a lot of sense. What excites you most about the TRX? I mean, certainly there's performance, but what really gets you going when you think of this particular truck?
Well, there's certainly a personality that comes out in this truck that is almost hard to capture in video or photographic images. Don't get me wrong, the truck looks incredible. The photos are awesome, and you can really take some amazing photography with a truck like this because of what it can do off-road. But when you feel it from the driver's seat, and you hear the sound of the engine and the whine of the supercharger and the thrust of the power as it pushes you into the back of the seat and it takes off, and your hands grab onto the steering wheel and feel the grips, you know, that suede integrated at the top of the steering wheel, and then reach down and grab the paddle shifters. It's just fun. I mean, there's just, it's almost hard to put it into words how much fun you have with this. You get out of this truck and you just have a smile on your face from ear to ear. You can't help it. And so what I'm excited about is just the opportunity to have people experience that. There's a tremendous amount of enthusiasm, as we're seeing from all the people that are coming to our website every day to check out this truck. But when they get their hands on it, I think it's going to go to a whole nother level. And then that's just going to perpetuate through the performance enthusiast crowds. And it's going to be a great thing for the Ram brand.
Well, and you're talking about people getting a hold of it. And already there's a lot of sales enthusiasm about it, isn't there? Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so one of the things that we thought would be a fun way to kick off this all-new product was to do a special edition that we called the Launch Edition. And we decided to build 702 of them in honor of the 702 horsepower engine under the hood. And it was incredible. We opened it up for orders on Tuesday morning, and within 3 hours, we had more than enough orders to cover that 702 production run. And people are absolutely excited to get their hands on one of these special limited editions. So just a really neat way to start off what we think is going to be a great career here for the Ram 1500 TRX.
Is production going to be limited overall, or is it going to be broader than, it's certainly going to be broader than 702, but talk a little bit about availability.
Yeah, so like I said, of course, on a special edition like that Launch Edition, we'll stick to that 702 number here for the U.S. as we committed to. But beyond that, we're going to look at, and we're going to build a production plan based on the demand. And if there's continued strong demand for the truck and they want us to, you know, amp up production, we'll respond to that. We haven't locked ourselves in on a particular figure. And, you know, we think that the ceiling is the limit, but we're going to keep an eye on it and we'll adjust as production or as demand calls for it.
When can consumers see this in showrooms, in Ram showrooms across the country?
Yep. We'll start production in Q4, in the first part of Q4. And then as the trucks make their way out to dealerships and get onto dealership lots, you're looking at probably the mid to second half of the fourth quarter. So certainly before the end of the calendar year, they'll be on start showing up on dealer lots and driveways for that matter as well.
Well, it sounds like a great Christmas gift. If anybody would like to buy a Christmas gift for a radio host, I would be beholden to them for that. And anything else you'd like to add about this, Carl?
It's just, it's a great time for the Ram brand. You know, we're coming off back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. You talked about the Cars.com luxury Car of the Year award that we won. And so it's been so much fun to be part of this brand and to see this success story get built. And for the Ram 1500 TRX now, just to add another chapter to the book is just it's just a ton of fun. And we're looking forward to a great finish to 2020 and an excellent 2021.
As a guy who's been with Ram 1500 for a long, long time, what do you think the special sauce of that pickup truck is versus everything else out there? Because I really do sense a difference, and I'm driving them all, your competitors and your vehicles all the time. What do you think it is?
You know, it's when I go back to 10 years ago when we broke the brand away from Dodge and set a course for a standalone truck brand, there was a lot of criticism. You know, at the time we were coming out of the Great Recession and many auto companies were cutting brands, not creating new ones. And I think a lot of people scratched their head and wondered why we would do something like that. But I think now a decade into it, we're proving the rationale behind that. It sounds almost cliche to say that we're laser focused on our customers. Every car company is going to make a comment along those lines. But I think what you're seeing is the fruit of the labor of engineers, design staff, marketing teams, product planners, everybody that comes to work every day and talks truck. And they talk truck specifically, and they have a passion for raising this truck brand to be the best around, to be the best in the industry. And so that's, you know, I think that's a notion there that's hard to put into words, but I think it's very real with our brand.
Yeah, and I think we are seeing it as those who review your vehicles in comparison to the competition. You know, that passion really comes through in the product, and I guess that's where the rubber hits the road, right?
Yeah, no, thank you for saying that. We appreciate it.
Yes. We've been talking with Carl Lally. He is the senior manager of Ram 1500. Thanks so much for being with us, Carl. We do appreciate it, and thanks for the insight.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jack.
Stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road. I'm Jack Neerat. And that was our interview with Carl Lally of Ram Trucks. A lot of interesting stuff to talk about. What a super truck that is. It's kind of an amazing thing that they've put together. So I can't wait to drive one of those. I'm sure Chris Teague, our indubitable, our wonderful co-host, agrees with me that he'd love to drive the TRX. Thanks so much for being with us, Chris.
I do agree with you. I would love to drive that truck, Jack. And thank you for having me. I will say thanks to everyone who joined us. And if you like what you heard and liked like what we are talking about here, please subscribe to us and leave us a review. Even if it's just a few stars, hopefully 5 or 3 or whatever the scale is, so that we can continue to grow and show up to more fine people to join us on this wonderful podcast of ours.
We try. We absolutely do. And we appreciate you being with us. We also appreciate you just as human beings. In fact, that's what my book is all about. It's called The GR Factor, Unleashing the Undeniable Power of the Golden Rule. And I think if you like this show, just like our demeanor, you'll probably like what you read in my book, The GR Factor, which is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Apple Books. And I think if you look around, maybe it's in your house already. But look for that. Look for the GR Factor. And again, I have to thank Chris for being with us. He's such a great co-host and a bright light to us. And thanks so much for being with us right here on America on the Road. We hope you join us again next week for the next edition of America on the Road.